Yeah, what's up?
Yep.
I resent that. You have me as a
Okay, we're gonna begin with our next item. If you could find your seats and,
and I would like
finish
to,
your conversations, we'll get going.
I would like to thank the body for the break.
No problem.
This body thanks that body.
Okay.
A lot of bodily up here.
I'm sorry.
We're ready to begin. Please, thank you. Okay, Pearl has one more thing she wanted to add to our discussion of staffing.
Yes, thank you. Just yesterday, Kathy updated the listing of all the office addresses and phone numbers and staffing and sent that to staff to review and see if there were any changes. And then she'll be finalizing it this week. This next week, I mean, and then a copy will go to the board, just so that you know.
Okay. That answers my email. Thank
yep.
you.
Thank you.
Are the board members included on that staff directory?
No.
No.
No, it's...
Okay.
Staff should know how to get a hold of us.
Yeah, it's an internal listing for of staff. Well, it's not just internal, but...
Right.
I mean, we could put your email address.
Yeah, that might be...
Yeah, it's just...
Well, I mean, I think... Well, maybe not since I changed it, but... yeah, I think that would be good to have...
Probably wouldn't hurt.
Well, I was thinking...
Or at least...
No, it wouldn't be your personal email, but we could put the board...
The public
yes,
email.
That's what I was just going to say. Mm-hmm. That would probably be even more appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
I can live with that.
Yeah, that's fine. You bet.
All right, done. More
okay.
work for Kathy.
Our next item is scheduling of board meetings to a specific Saturday, the 4 months that we meet.
Julie, that was my agenda item, and I don't, you know, the board can do what it wishes. My thought process behind that was, you know, when you're going to meet specifically, you know, let's say we decide to meet the first Friday of February. May, November, August, whatever it is, you know, you don't have to plan. You can work schedule accordingly around it. I know things come up and you may or may not be able to make it. But that was my rationale for putting it on the agenda. You know, it makes no difference to me what the body wants to do. That's just my thought process.
Okay. Other thoughts?
We plan these out far enough in advance that most things you're still able to plan around. There are things that are going to come up that you don't have control over the dates anyway.
Right.
So it's still nice to have the discussions that we had, like when we had that conference call to pick the dates. I like the idea of leaving it the way it is.
Oh, okay. That's fine with me.
Yeah, I like the idea that I know it's going to be, you know, February, May, August, and November. So I know those months coming up are right. But as far as the dates, I think we're going to spend a lot of time changing them, because we're only 5 members, and if we're missing 1 or 2 people, we're getting down to, you know, quorum that's not really good. So any, that might happen anyway, but I think just the months are enough.
I would say if we were like a school board or something and met monthly, then yes, but first Saturday, first Tuesday, what have you. But given the fact that it's 3 or 4 times a year, I think we should, you know, hash over dates, kind of look at these things.
That's fine.
Yeah, because by the time you get to, like, February, you kind of have an idea what's going to be going on in May, and you're like, a little bit of an idea anyway.
Okay.
That's fine.
I'm also in favor of leaving it the way it is, with more schedule flexibility. So, I think we're decided on that item.
That's fine.
Other comments? About, okay.
Do we have a plan if it ever, like, to have another backup date in the event of a snowstorm, or do we just not meet that quarter, or do we need to know that, or have that?
When I first started, we came up with a plan about that. Kathy, do you happen to have that in front of you? No. Our emergency...
Julie,
I remember
the conversation around it. I don't think it's dealt specifically with weather. I think the, you know, if somebody decided they needed to cancel a meeting for, and at that time it was a Democratic caucus, but it wasn't specific to that, but it was kind of decided that if somebody, you know, wanted to request a meeting be canceled, it had to be done 30 days prior with unanimous consent of the board. But I don't think we have an emergency contingency like today if we would have been iced out or snowed out.
Yeah. I think Kathy did bring some language. We talked about it in the last couple of days because it was looking like be freezing drizzle again today. Mm-hmm. Certainly, we have the right if weather, whether it's weather or whether it would be some other emergency that you don't know ahead of time. This building was bombed yesterday, for example. Yeah. Clearly, we're not going to meet here.
Then we meet at the library across the street.
So there are some situations, and weather is an issue. So if there's a bad storm, people should not be on the road, and we need to cancel. And then there are some things about how you put out notice to set up another meeting. Usually you would try to do it within the next, you know, fairly close time so that the topics are still pertinent, things like that. So, public meeting law allows for emergency changes to the plan. So we don't really have to come up with a plan.
Okay.
If there was a really bad weather, we'd be making a lot of phone calls. We'd probably need to kind of get a tree going because we wouldn't obviously have the phone numbers of everybody who might be coming. Mm-hmm. We'd want folks to notify each other, but it would be a flurry of phone calls, I think.
Yeah.
I would think we would try to decide the day before. Like yesterday, we talked about if it is freezing drizzle in the morning, maybe we should start at 10 instead of 9. But then it turned out fine, thank goodness.
So that we have that leeway. That's if they're saying ice storm warning for tomorrow, and then it does nothing, at least we still have that. We still are well within our rights to cancel that a day in advance.
Absolutely.
Okay, as long as state law covers it, that's fine.
That sounds good.
All right.
Okay.
Next.
Our next item is conducting board business between commission meetings. And Kathy, do you have the
the draft?
Yeah, what you sent out to us. Okay.
Julie, for the public, do you want to explain why this is on the agenda, what the thought process behind it is?
This is your item, so I'm
no, it's Pearl's item.
Is it Pearl's item?
Yeah, she was the one who suggested it. Hey, I just put the agenda together, the direction of the chair, and that was Pearl said maybe this ought to be an agenda item.
I don't know that it matters how it got here, Kathy. Why don't you read what?
This is a draft procedure for conducting NCBVI Commission Board business between quarterly meetings. If an issue that requires formal action or a vote of the board comes up between NCBVI quarterly board meetings, an emergency meeting should be called. When it is necessary to hold an emergency meeting without reasonable notice, the nature of the emergency shall be stated in the minutes, and any formal action taken in such meeting shall pertain only to the emergency. Such emergency meetings may be held by means of electronic or telecommunication equipment. Complete minutes of such emergency meeting, specifying the nature of the emergency and any formal action taken at the meeting, shall be made available to the public by no later than the end of the next regular business day. And this draft was drafted from reference to the Open Meeting Act, Section 84-1411, parentheses 5.
Okay. Discussion?
I don't think so. No.
I guess I have a question. Since now that language was from the open meeting law?
Yes.
So it really is just the law. It's not...
No.
Right.
Okay. So, and we certainly can't and wouldn't want to reinvent the law. Is the point just to make sure that all of the board knows?
Yeah, it's stated in the law. So
okay.
If something would come up, an emergency item,
okay.
You don't have to wait 3 months before you can...
Now, here's the question. Who decides what's an emergency?
I do.
But I mean, what if you think it's an emergency and the rest of us don't?
Then
I win? I don't know.
I would think that a majority vote.
Let Kathy speak.
If it would be an emergency if it requires formal action or a vote of the board before the date of the next meeting.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I still might not think it's an emergency.
Well, then as long as the rest of the board did, that's what I'm trying to overrule.
No, that's what I'm trying to understand. That's fine. I've been overruled before.
Well, has anything, Pearl, in the years that it's been a commission, has anything come up that would be considered an emergency that needed handled between meetings? I mean,
is that...
Yes.
And we know where we're going with it, but we won't go there.
Well, I have no idea, but...
I'll look. Nebraska.
Yeah, we did take a vote on whether they should be invited to the employment seminar.
Speak up, please.
We did take a vote, and I contacted everyone by email and then later by phone. So... because it was something that was going to happen immediately, and it needed to be settled right then and there, and we did take a vote that was established through email, pretty much.
Right. I can think of another example. The state plan has to be officially approved by the board before I can submit it. So let's say something occurred that, I mean, hopefully by the May meeting, I will have a final draft for you. But if something occurred that I was not able to complete it by that time, but it has to be submitted by July 1. So if it wasn't to you all for the official public meeting in May, and then I completed it, say, June 3rd, I would need to have your official vote on it in order to submit it to the feds by July 1.
Okay.
So that might be an example of not a terrible emergency, but that has to happen by a certain date, and the dates didn't, you know. So that would be another example.
Julie, it's rare, but I'm just trying to understand the...
Okay.
Who decides it's an emergency and blah, blah, blah.
Kathy, is there anything in the law about who decides? I think Julie's right. It's the chair.
Well, probably
well,
is.
She read it. It was a vote of the board.
Oh.
Well, I think it's a consensus of the board.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Okay.
Consensus of vote.
Okay. Thank you.
I thought that was to approve the item, not to decide an emergency.
To hold the meeting at all.
To hold the meeting.
Oh, okay.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I must have dozed off
during
that part. I apologize.
Okay.
I have no problem with it.
So we're all good on that one?
Yep.
All right, that's fine.
Okay, so I've lost my place. Daryl, what's next?
Okay, we have... Okay, we are at... let's see, we did the commission board business. Step
could I just... I guess...
Oh, go ahead.
One more. I think there was some question in this past month or something about whether we could go back and forth in emails, we being you all, the board really, and me, about what date the next meeting might be, something like that.
Yeah, but that doesn't require a vote.
No,
so
and I think that sort of thing is perfectly reasonable.
Yes.
To have emails in between, just like we sometimes get information from someone from the website, and you email me about it, I get information and provide it back to you. That doesn't have to wait. In fact,
right.
Shouldn't be brought at the public meeting. It's a task we take care of. We communicate amongst ourselves, the board and me, and then it's done. And that's okay.
Definitely.
Thank you. All right.
I'm,
that's
all.
No problem with that. So, Jim,
Oh, I don't bother me, and that's fine. That's
okay.
Just trying to keep things honest.
Well, I know you had a question about whether or not we should be discussing scheduling the November meeting, and in my mind, I would much rather discuss it through email.
That's fine.
It takes up less time.
That's fine. Yeah. I have no problem with that.
Okay.
I'm
available
some days.
Move on to our next topic, which is the staff survey. I'll give you my .02 and then we can discuss. Jim brought up the idea that the staff survey is not to expose personnel issues, and that comments from staff about other staff, really, that's not an appropriate forum for that. It should go to the supervisor and up through the normal chain of management, which I totally agree with. The questions don't specifically ask for that information. They're very open-ended. So I like the idea of leaving the question as it is and adding a sentence or two in the instructions stating that all personnel matters, or I'm not sure how to word it, but those sorts of things should be brought to the attention of the supervisor, not put in a survey.
Should be handled in-house.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
No, I just think you're right, it should be handled in-house.
Mm-hmm. Well, the survey is still in, it's all in-house.
Right.
But yes.
No, but the point about personnel issues should be handled in-house.
I think
that's
so,
absolutely right.
So my thinking is to leave the survey as it is and just add additional instructions.
And I sent out language to the board. If you want to tweak it, that's fine with me.
I think just leave it alone. I think people have the right to vent, and we can just say, okay, whatever.
Well, here's
maybe they don't feel...
Well, they can still put in... I mean, they can disregard the instructions and write whatever they're going to write.
That's true.
I mean,
sure.
It's not going to prevent that's it.
You know, what we did last year when there was a comment that was real specific to a person with no attempt at confidentiality at all, is when you release
out to the
staff, those comments were just not included with all the rest of the results. I thought that was very appropriate.
Okay.
I don't know.
I do too.
And I never had staff come and pound on the door and say, you didn't put my comment. I mean, and if they had, I would have been happy to discuss with them why I couldn't put that, not I, or why those parts were not included. I think people understood that.
Yeah. I really have to agree with Daryl. I just leave things the way they are, and sometimes that's the reason that a staff member will fill out the survey, because they have a reason to vent about, and we get other information from them just because they decided to fill out the rest the survey, because we don't get everybody to do it. And, everybody needs to do, this is America, everybody needs to do whatever they wish to do. You go to vote, not go to vote, do survey, don't do survey, you do what you want to do. But sometimes it is the reason. Or, on the other hand, we have had exactly the opposite happen, too, where somebody gives high praise to somebody else, too. So
that's true.
I personally think leave it as it is.
I think if it becomes, would be if we'd see a trend where it just came to be big gripe sessions, but right now it ain't broken, so let's not fix it.
Yeah. Okay. Mike, do you have?
I agree with Daryl.
Okay. Well, that's 3 for leaving it, so we'll just leave it. Does anybody want...
We can revisit it next year.
Okay.
And it is good to revisit this every
year. I think it is, too. We don't necessarily need to make changes, but we do need to talk about it each year.
Okay. We need to decide on a timeline for dissemination. So...
can you speak up, please?
Yes, we need to decide on a timeline to make the survey available and when we would have the results.
When did it go out last year? April 1st, I think?
Yes.
Well, if it ain't like in keeping with the comments about the survey, if it's not broke, don't
and
fix
then
it.
When was the cutoff line? Do you
April 30th, I think.
For 3 weeks.
Three weeks. That sounds just about perfect to me.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do the April 1st with a cutoff April 15th or 16th, whatever it is. And
the only thing I'm thinking...
On the 22nd would be three weeks.
Yeah, okay. Because the only thing I was thinking of is that we needed to have the results back by our meeting in May, which is on May 21st, so we'd have plenty of time to do that.
Mm-hmm. I thought the meeting was May 14th.
I thought it was May 14th.
Oh, that's why I'm looking at the wrong line. I apologize. May 14th, you're correct.
I'm on his birthday.
It's still plenty of time. Yeah. Okay, that's fine. And then, Pearl, you'll send out the invitation. And then could you send a follow-up reminder maybe when there's a week left?
Sure.
Okay.
Kathy will work with me to make sure those things happen.
Kathy can send it out. It doesn't
happen.
Yeah, it doesn't make it.
Madam Chair will write a little blurb at the beginning.
Do you want to write a fresh something, or do you want me to use?
Or use what you had last year.
I don't know that I have anything new and inspirational to say from last year. So if you have that, that would be great to just to use that.
All right.
Okay, where are we at, Darryl?
So we're going to send the survey out the first one with the cutoff the
22nd. We've done the survey.
Why don't we have Kathy state her understanding of what y'all just said as far as dates?
The survey will be disseminated to staff on April 1st, and it will be closed on April 22nd.
All right.
Sounds right.
There you go. Close the business.
Good idea.
We should do 4:59 just to.
Okay. Yeah. I know it's not on the agenda, but it's been a bit since we've heard from the public, so I'm going to go ahead and allow public comment for a few minutes here before we get to our next item. Okay, so I heard Shane, and there was like three other people.
It's 6 minutes after two.
Right, we're going to be late. So if you have other things, please feel free to leave when you need to. There's no way we're going to finish on time. I'm sorry for that. But
that's why our chair is being kind enough to let us have some public comments.
Yes.
I'll take the mic to the as Julie calls the names for me.
Shane spoke loudest, so I'm going to go there.
Raise your hands.
Yeah, I can't. You're going to have to say your names. So.
Well, there is something to be said for being loud, I guess. What I was wondering about, as much as a comment as is a question to the board, as you know, the National Federation of the Blind has a bill at the unicameral. It's LB 149. And it has to do with the qualifications of individuals who do Braille instruction in Nebraska, particularly for K through 12, or that population anyway, pre-K all the way up through 21, I guess you might say. Anyway, the bill calls on the state of Nebraska to either have folks certify through the national test or create a test that's very similar to that. It's much more rigorous than what is done now, because they would have to do slate and stylus and prove they know some rules about Braille and some of those kinds of things. And what I was really hoping, and you could say this is from me or from the National Federation of Blind of Nebraska if you like, but I was really... All of you as blind or visually impaired folks, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and assume that you believe in Braille and with your positions and things know of its importance with its link to, employment and success and so on and so forth. I was wondering with the hearing for this coming up on Tuesday, if you would be willing as a board to draft a letter of support for that bill, which would come from you as blind adults and as your position as the commissioners, which I think would really say something about the testimony of how important Braille is in your lives. I'd just like you to kind of entertain that idea.
Darryl has a question.
I think that's lobbying.
I agree.
No, it's not.
I think if you want to do it individually, that's fine.
I don't think that's...
No.
That's
if it's not appropriate for the entire board, it wouldn't be appropriate for a single board member as long if they did it as a board member.
No, you can do it individually. You don't have to do it as a board member.
Now, we can't... Lobbying would be specifically asking them for their vote on the item itself. What has been stated before, or what Pearl was stating before, that is commonly done is educating. And if it is something that we believe in and that we wanted to do this, I would think that we could send a letter that says that states the benefits of doing something like this, not asking for their vote, just stating facts. And then it's an educational letter, and it's not lobbying. I guess I would ask for a ruling from Kathy or Pearl to make sure that I'm correct in stating that, but I believe that would be all right if it was something we chose to do. Julie?
Yes. I agree with you, but Kathy, do you have or Pearl? Is Mike correct in what he's saying?
Yeah, I would even say that the board could say, you know, we endorse this something or other, but of course only after giving facts of whatever.
Mark's got a comment.
And I still have a comment.
Okay.
Okay. Hold just a moment. Is that something, do we want more discussion? Do you guys want to vote on that? What?
I think we can let the, I think I'm going to guess that some of the public comments here are about that. If we want to.
So let, okay, yeah. We'll do that. Mark, and okay. Then I heard Bob and Kendra. Okay.
Kendra.
Okay, hello, this is Mark Bolger. I'm from Omaha. And regarding the request from Mr. Burrish, I have a concern. First of all, I don't know that you have all either read the bill or have been involved in the bill. I do, as a commission, I believe in your state plan, you have a responsibility to work with educational professionals as a body. And I don't believe that NFB has worked with the teachers when they introduced this bill. Therefore, I would request that the commission board definitely not speak, because there has been no collaboration. Because what happens at the education level, you know, we should be working together when possible. And to be honest, I have talked to the educators, and you know, they found out about this bill secondhand, and this will affect them. And while we all want Braille, and we want what's best for children, I think we can be more accomplished more when we work together. And I guess I would strongly discourage this board from doing anything without the consultation of the different parties involved, the educators, the foundation for the children. I would even suggest consumers. But to not understand the bill and endorse it without fully being engaged in it, I would strongly discourage it.
Excuse me, Bob is next. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, the scheduling of board meetings in November, that first Saturday, has the focus topics been decided?
I believe that is the next item, or if it's not the next one, it's the one after. So we will get to that, Bob.
Yeah, good, because... that first Saturday is also Winterfest, so...
It's also what?
Winterfest.
The proposed topic won't conflict with Winterfest.
Okay.
So we should be good, but we will discuss it in more detail. And did I hear Kendra?
Kendra,
okay.
Yeah, I had a confusing incident the other day. I know about Radio Talking Book, and I listened to the newspaper on the radio, but I was watching the TV, and I started channel surfing for one of the few times in my life, and I ended up with a hockey game on the video, but on the audio, it was Lamont Cranston, was the Green Hornet, it was the Shadow Nose, all of those 1940s radio shows. How did I get that? Because at one time it was identified as Radio Talking Book.
Oh.
But it was on my TV.
Do you want Paul to speak to that?
I'll answer that.
Is that all right, Julie?
Yeah, that would be great, because I am completely...
Louder, please.
Were you using cable or over the air?
It's on cable, and I was not disappointed. I was tickled to death.
What
but
channel?
I don't know how to get it again.
What channel were you on?
I don't know.
Public broadcasting?
I can't see the channels.
Well, what
I just saw what looked like a hockey game and heard this, and I don't know how I got it.
Well, what happened is you were using the SAP, the second audio program. Your TV menu has settings for audio in it, and it was probably set to SAP, and that's how you were getting it.
How did I do that?
Well, I think probably we should have a private discussion maybe about it, not to
okay.
have time here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Julie.
I thought
yes.
that's how you got Radio Talking Book
okay.
on TV.
Okay. Well, Mike is going to talk next.
Just a follow-up question real quick. Paul, just don't go into detail, like you said, take it offline, but just what station, does that go over public broadcast? Is that over the PBS station that's the second audio programming?
Yeah, it was PBS. They did say that.
It essentially does, yes. And we can talk about it because it's a little complicated with TV going digital.
Yeah.
But Cox still has analog cable channels on their system,
uh-huh.
channels 2 through 13. So channel 12, it still is available on the SAP.
Okay.
But you have to know how to set the TV menus, and most of them are visual.
Right. They're all different.
Yes.
Okay. Okay,
Jeff
great.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
We have something.
Jeff?
Have something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I wanted to speak again back to the issue of the Braille certification bill, LB 149. This bill, first of all, there has been an effort to collaborate with educators on an ongoing basis for a number of years in regard to this legislation. There has been a number of times that the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska has reached out to the Department of Education and has received no cooperation from them on this issue. This is a very simple bill. What we're looking for is to make sure that the teachers who are working with blind children are competent in regard to Braille. I think that most parents who have sighted children would want the teachers that were working with their children on learning to read print to have knowledge of print. We see throughout the country a problem with Braille literacy. Very few blind children are Braille literate. And so we're trying to address the problems related to the education and preparation of these instructors. If these instructors are indeed competent and literate in Braille, the NCLB should not be a problem for them to pass. And in this particular legislation, we are saying or an equivalent. Therefore, if they feel that the NCLB exam is not appropriate for what they're trying to do, we would love to see a proper exam that goes into the various fields of Braille, use of slate and stylus, Braille writer, reading and proper reading techniques and so forth, to be evaluated to make sure that the instructor knows what they're doing before they start working with children.
Who sits on the NCLB board, Jeff? Or who is the NCLB?
NCLB
who comprises
is a
that?
Program which is run by the National Blindness Professional Certification Board.
That's okay.
Which is a tax-exempt nonprofit organization that is a certifying body.
And what are the requirements for certification?
I'm sorry?
Requirements for certification.
Requirements for certification. There is an exam to be taken which requires the individual to write with Slate and Stylus, requires an individual to be able to use Braille Writer, requires an individual to be able to read Braille. I don't recall the rate at which they have to be able to read it, but they have to be able to transcribe sentences without error. It's pretty basic stuff. And the exam itself was developed by the National Library System, not by any other organization. These are the same people who are responsible for certifying Braille transcriptionists. They simply turned the management of that exam over to the NBPCB. And there have been a number of people across the country who have been certified by it.
How many?
In excess of 200, the last I heard. That number is growing constantly. It's very hard to keep up with it.
And how many does Nebraska have that's certified?
That's a good question. I would have to find out from the NBPCB. My background is primarily in orientation and mobility.
Not enough, we know that.
Yeah. Not enough.
I would say not enough because part of the role of certification is you're endorsing or putting your stamp of approval on skills, correct? And the website that Jeff had mentioned does not list anybody from Nebraska. Now,
okay,
if you're going to advocate a certification board and then advocate its merits, as far as I'm concerned, if you say you're certified, I can go to that site right now and say you're certified or not, and I can tell you right now in the state of Nebraska,
I'm not. Please allow me to
Thank
clarify.
You for your point, Mark.
Yeah, I'm certainly not claiming to be certified in Braille. I personally wish I were a lot better at Braille than I am.
But do you expect a sighted teacher to? I don't know. Is this the appropriate forum to get into this debate?
I express my concerns.
Whoa,
Madam Chair, can I?
No, I'm talking now.
Okay. Finish my comment.
I want to talk. Okay. I have one question, and then we'll return to orderliness. Because I have not read the new proposed, I read the one that was proposed last year, but I have not read the new wording. Does this proposed bill specify what certification is required by Braille instructors? I guess, I don't know the letters. I get them all jumbled. But is it the National Certification Board, is it that certification is required, or is it a certification is required?
The bill states that the NCLB or an equivalent exam.
Okay. So we're not necessarily, well.
Yeah, we're not debating the merits of the NCLB.
Right.
We're just saying a certification.
We just want that rigorousness.
Okay. I'm clear on that now. Does anyone else have come that hasn't had a chance to speak?
Yes, this is Ann Pelican.
Yes, go ahead, Ann.
I'm not real clear on the bill, but I would like to know, is there any other state that has this bill that they are working on this? And if so, how many?
Okay. Is there someone that can answer that question? Are there other states that require certification of Braille instructors? And do we have numbers?
I can take a stab at it, Julie.
Okay.
You want me to wait for the mic?
Yes. Yes, please.
I'm sure that a number of states actually require some sort of certification. In fact, even in Nebraska, at the current time, you have to pass an exam of 20 sentences, which just shows that you can take a document that's in grade one Braille and convert it using the correct contractions and things into a grade two document. using a Perkins. So what we're, but no state that we know of is requiring the passage of this. It's actually our hope that Nebraska would be seen as a leader across the country in the certification, you know, of instructors of Braille. And again, while I have the mic, I was asking you guys not even to endorse the bill, but remember, just write a letter in support of the idea of Braille and how important it is to you as a board, because you represent the Rehabilitation Agency of the Blind, and with the direct correlation of Braille competency to employment. In other words, you'd be testifying to the importance of Braille, thereby why we should have competent instruction. I wasn't wanting to get mired down in all of this, whether you're endorsing the bill or not. I would hope that it appears to me by some of the comments that maybe Mr. Bulger or Jim are against the bill, which I think is unfortunate. As a consumer organization, I would think you'd want the best for blind children. We have made every attempt to talk with Teresa Kuntz, who's at the Department of Education, Sally Ginger, and I guess if you've talked with individual teachers who haven't heard of the bill or said we contact them, we don't even have a list of every individual teacher. We've gone to their supervisors in the hope that they would then go to their constituents. So if there's a breakdown, it's actually on the part of the managers of those individuals.
Okay. I was a little hard on you maybe, but I support the bill totally, but I just don't know that, I just still find a hard time as a board.
I agree with you.
Saying anything. And you won't get, I just will not vote for that. I'm sorry.
Okay. Shane, very quickly, I'm not against the bill. Don't put words in my mouth, and I request an apology.
Oh, now, now.
I apologize if I put words in your mouth. I was just...
And I'd like to comment, too, since I put words in my mouth.
Having listened to what just transpired, I'd like to say that if this board goes on record of highlighting any portion of the bill, that is a pseudo-endorsement of the bill.
Right.
Whether you choose to believe that or not.
Right.
The thing that I want to know about, who's going to pay for this certification? Is it going to be the individual teacher? And how much is it going to be? Is it going to be the state of Nebraska as a taxpayer? Is it going to be NFB or ACB? Who's going to pay for it?
Bobby.
Because all of us right in this room right now are sick and tired of more taxes. And what I think I hear is more taxes.
No. Yeah, but Bob Beaton said he's paying for it. It's not public records.
No, actually, more professionals who are required by law to have a license. More professionals who are required by law to practice with, by virtue of license or certification generally pay for their own. You know, they have to take a test, and there is a charge. But, you know, I know that interpreters of the deaf have to pay for their own examination.
I don't know if
you have to. Let it be certified. I would guess that would be the same for teachers of Braille.
Madam President, or Madam Chairman.
Staff on the commission that need to be certified in Braille as well?
Madam
Are you
Chairman.
Going to have to pay for it and go to class?
No. Yep. The O&M instructor is certified under his own pay.
Okay.
Hopefully the Braille teacher.
And teachers that can't afford it? Julie, we need.
We have some complicating factors here. It's snowing, and it's expected to snow more and be nasty out. So we need to wrap this up so that we can get home safely. So is there anyone that would like to say something that we haven't specifically...
Julie?
Yes, Mike.
I'd just like to, I think, make the one statement that will close the current question.
Okay.
The question was about who's paying for it. I believe what Bob said is partially correct that the person, the teacher taking the exam would be typically asked to pay for it. Now, if or the school that they work for, depending on what arrangements they work out. If that is not possible, it is actually written into the legislation, the proposed legislation, that the National Federation of the Blind would be willing to cover the costs. So, is there more taxes that are going to be or taxes going to be raised because of this? The answer is no. They don't need to be raised because of this. The costs, the cost of the exam has been taken care of.
And Julie, can I make, because I had somebody speak for me, I want to speak for myself.
Okay, quickly, yeah. Please.
Again, I would, if you were to review the state plan, I think there's probably a section that says that the commission is going to work with the different agencies involved. And I would like to see a letter saying that they have not been consulted on this bill and request that that be entered into the record, and it would be contrary to what our state plan objectives is. Now, the NFP is free to offer their bills, but the commission's role is to work within the constructs of the state plan and working with others. And I know it's hard for the teachers when they're dealing with Shane and Amy and other people for the commission, and they think they're getting somewhere. Then they go off and do their bills on their own. And I know you can say, well, I'm wearing two different hats, but you know, when you're still the same credible person wherever you are. You just can't turn off and turn on a switch and say, well, I'm going to treat them fair here, but then because I'm wearing a different hat, I can do something different. So that's all I got to say, and I thank you.
I have one question, too. This is Glendora Weiland again. I want to ask the board, has any one of you read the bill?
I have not.
No,
I have not.
Then why would you endorse something that you haven't read? I don't care what bill it is.
Okay, whoa, stop. Okay, Nancy has read it, and we have not made any motion or decision to endorse any such thing. Okay.
No, they didn't. Asked us to talk, to write a letter about the importance of Braille.
Okay.
They did not ask us to endorse a bill, they just asked us to write a letter stating the importance of Braille.
Okay, but that's fine. And if that's what it is. But I would read the bill before I endorse
Okay.
it.
Absolutely.
Nancy has read the bill. She's going to make a comment. The board is going to make a final closure on this topic, all and right. We are going to move on because we need to move on. Go ahead, Nancy.
Okay, well, I really feel like, you know, that it's a no-brainer to me to sit here and say that I think Braille is necessary to blind people. It has affected my life because I wasn't given the chance when I was a little child to learn Braille. I learned it when I was an adult. And you ask any adult that learns Braille, yes, you can learn it. Yes, you can read it. You can do all the things, but you're never going to do as well as when you do it if you learn when you are a child. The same thing falls true that if you never learn how to read or write print when you're a sighted child, you will never do it as well as when you're a child as if you learned it when you were an adult. I just think it's a no-brainer about sending a letter to our senators about Braille. That's one of the things we do with the commission is teach Braille. It is very important. The bill is well-written. I think it is important that we have teachers that know what they're doing. If they're going to teach a subject, I don't want a teacher teaching a child of mine history when his background is in music and vice versa. I want that person to be competent in that. And I think that's what we've been seeing all along. We have children that don't, who need Braille that are not getting it. And part of that is because we don't have competent teachers. Let's use technology. That's not important. Braille isn't important, and I believe that it is. Statistics base it, you know, bear this out, that 80% of the people that read Braille well, guess what? They have a job. So that statistic alone makes me want to say that, yes, Braille's a good idea. And I see no conflict whatsoever saying that this commission board says that Braille is important. It's how it has affected my life. I see no conflict there at all.
Okay. We have a request that the board write a letter of support of the use of Braille to be submitted to the senators and the education committee. Is that correct, Shane?
That is correct.
Okay. Is there a motion?
Yes.
Is there a second?
Yes.
Okay. We'll vote for the motion as it is. Mike?
Yes.
Jim?
Abstain.
Daryl?
No.
Nancy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
No, there's about the vote is in process.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's about the vote. I'm sorry, it's okay.
I don't know if you have to or not. It's
you don't have
two
to.
Two to three vote with one abstention. Yeah, so it's not a tie.
I don't think we have to vote.
No, it isn't a tie.
No, so you wouldn't have to.
Right.
Exactly. You can let it stand the way it is and go away.
Okay, so you guys want me to just say I abstain so we can move on? Mm-hmm.
No, I want you to. I want you. What I would have you do is, you know, do whatever is comfortable for you.
Right.
I did what was comfortable for me.
No, exactly. I got you, Nancy. I guess
if it's more comfortable for you to abstain, then that's what you need to do. Yep. But if you agree with one side or the other, then you need to do that.
Right. And I think I do need to abstain because I need to think about it more clearly than I would be able to right here today to make a decision.
And again, I'm voting out of conscience and being consistent, so I have no problem with my vote. I can sleep tonight, and everybody has every right to. You know, we'll live with whatever the decision.
Exactly. I do have a procedural question then.
Yes, we only have two, that's not a majority.
It's not a majority, but it is. But it is a majority of the people of the board members voting.
No, it's not.
Because there's two abstentions, so they didn't vote.
The abstention means that they have not voted.
You, under Robert's Rules of Order, you must have a simple majority, which you do not have.
Right.
Not if people abstain, because then you can always abstain.
All right, then you have the ability to re-poll the vote and the board and ask if anyone wishes to change their vote in favor
of
abstention.
Yeah. Kathy, do you have the rules?
I don't have Robert's Rules of Order, but from my knowledge of Robert's Rules, if your board consists of five board members, you need three board members voting in favor of a motion in order for it to pass.
Okay.
And that's including if there was abstentions.
It does not make any difference if there's abstentions or not.
Okay. All right.
Move on.
That's fine. Then we move on.
Okay.
Can that be reported to the legislators that this bill or the motion had failed from the commission board?
Why do we need to report it?
No, because we were not talking about the bill. We were talking about Braille, not the bill. That was my understanding of what the vote was. It was to.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
It was not to endorse or do anything else with the bill. It was to say that we were definitely in favor of Braille.
Okay, so if I'm out of order, I'm sorry.
I apologize.
Could someone take this to the legislature and say that there was
You know what, Mark? If you choose to talk to your senator and tell them that, that's your prerogative.
Okay.
No, the senators do not get our minutes, and
they have access to them.
They have access to them, as do all the public.
Exactly.
The board members up there who abstain still can write any letter they want to the senators.
Sure.
It doesn't prevent them from doing anything.
Julie, let me say this so we can move on.
The board's blessing on anything.
Candid, the reason I abstained, I didn't want to be perceived as not supporting the concept of Braille. I support the concept of Braille. I have a problem with the bill as it's written.
I want to read that thing in total before I sign.
Okay, we're done. Let's move on.
Yep, move on.
Okay, we're moving on to the next topic, which is the
NVPCB.
There it is.
Tongue twister.
The tongue twister one. Yeah. So, Pearl, can you explain what that certification is? and pertinent details.
Yes. National Blindness Professionals Certification Board is what those initials stand for. That, as Jeff, that's the board that Jeff was talking about earlier. It is a national nonprofit entity established to certify initially orientation and mobility trainers, and then secondly, approval of agencies that are consumer driven, and then thirdly, the Braille certification. I'm just doing a real nutshell, but the on the board, it does not have any affiliation with any other organization. I sit on the board, and so does Jeff Altman. We are appointed board members. The board, it gets confused with the certificate. I mean, the board does certify travel teachers and Braille users and agencies. That's the approved agency. That's the part of it that was brought up as the original question. We, on our agency website, the NCBVI website, we do show that we are an approved agency by the NBPCB. That means that the Commission for the Blind in Nebraska and Visually Impaired has gone through an assessment by this board to determine things like whether we, well, it's specific to the training center. And I brought the information on the document, which I tried to open on my computer a little bit ago, and the computer didn't want to work and started beeping, so I don't know what happened. But basically, it's a kind of certification that is not parallel to any other certification. That was one question. And so it's really not the same as any other. It looks at agency training centers that claim to focus on a structured discovery approach and has a very rigorous system of things they look at to see if, in fact, we do that. The fees that are posted on the website are not correct, and the fees are actually under assessment right now. I'm on a task force to look at those. We originally paid $7,500 for the initial assessment. There have not been, and that was 3 years ago almost, there have not been any annual fees billed at all, nor will there be. There will probably be like a 3 to 5 year recertification or reapproval process, and there'll probably be a fee, but it won't, maybe a few thousand dollars. We haven't figured that out yet. The goal is to keep the cost low, but yet cover the cost that it takes for a board to come in and do an assessment. Another question related to staff time, that is basically no staff time was involved. Other than any more than the amount of time that, like Fatosh, when she gives a tour to somebody that comes in to tour the center. But, there really is no burden on staff time. And then in terms of benefits, because we're an approved center, that's why we have this intern, actually, who is here for several months, and the Texas Agency for the Blind is paying us something like $3,500 to $4,000 per month for his training. So we're benefiting from the expertise of the national board. We're benefiting by bringing in an intern who's been a good resource for us, as well as some money coming in. And I think the reason I'm on the board is that consumers can benefit by when they go to a training center, they know what they're going to be getting. They know that it's, if they are wanting this type of approach that we have in Nebraska, that where they go for it, they will get what, you know, the kind of approach and training that they're wanting. So in a nutshell, that's it. Jeff, as another person on the board and the supervisor of that intern, is there anything else you would add that I forgot to, or that I left out? I mean, there's more, but just basics.
Well,
you got the...
Okay. There are, or, you know, there have been questions regarding other types of certifications that are out there. CARF, for example.
Without the details. Keep it really short. Yeah.
Most of these certifications are much more of a general type of certification. For example, CARF is primarily aimed at medical types of rehabilitation facilities, which is not appropriate to what the commission does. They do cover rehabilitation of visually impaired, but it is much more oriented to procedures than to the quality of services provided. And that's really kind of where the issue is. We are focused as, or I should say, the Commission for the Blind is focused as an organization on providing effective services, high quality services. And this certification process helps the agency to maintain that quality of service by maintaining the types of things necessary to pass the certification. The other thing I would mention to you is that most other types of certifications, for example, the National Accreditation Council, is very expensive and very demanding on staff time, in that each staff person must document daily activities and maintain a book, which then the next council comes in and reviews every 3 years. The agency I formerly worked for in Pennsylvania was NAC certified. The average certification process for that agency ran into the range of about $30,000. So,
could this be, and maybe I missed something when you were speaking, could this be perceived as a reinvention of the wheel?
It is not. I'll
That's my concern, because if you've got AER out there, why are we reinventing the wheel?
Yeah, this is really the only, if you're talking about the agency approval part, this is the only one that really specifically addresses structured discovery approach.
So AER does not?
No.
And that's a bad thing?
Well, and no, it's just different. I'm not saying it's bad or good, it's just different.
Okay.
You said the initial cost was $7,500, and I missed. Is there additional fees for recertification every so many years?
There probably will be. That's under, the website says there's annual fees and reapproval fees, or renewal fees, but those have not been set.
Okay.
But probably there will not be annual, but there will be every 3 to 5 years a renewal thing.
Okay. And this came into existence in 2007, is that right? This
That sounds about right.
And just so people know, I did some research, and Carlos and Pearl were the only ones that testified at the hearing for this piece of legislation.
Are you talking about the Braille bill now?
No, I'm talking about the MBPCB.
What legislation?
It wasn't legislation.
I thought you were, didn't you back in 2007 have some sort of...
LB 7.
Thank you, Mark. 754?
Well, that didn't have anything to do with
nothing
this.
To do with this.
So I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Howard Johnson.
Let me go back and look at that again.
Well, wait till you walk. Julie, are you going to know?
No, we no, not at this time. Were there more questions or comments, Mike and Jim down there?
No, I have one question.
Not at this time. Okay. Do we need further explanation, information? What?
Do you need a motion from us for approval?
Well, I guess.
Well,
Julie, I'm not sure where we want to go.
Well, Julie, this is where I think we're at with this, is that it was my understanding, Pearl, that our certification was running out this year.
Yes.
It's running out on what date?
Oh, I don't know. Because there's actually about three state agencies who are kind of up for renewal, mm-hmm. but because the board is in process of figuring out the renewal, it won't expire.
My only concern, Julie, would have been if everything had been set in place and, for instance, our accreditation, our certification were to expire and we had not renewed it yet, and we chose to, and there was more additional fees because of that, you know, because of doing it late, that we take care of it now. But since that's not the case, then I don't think there's anything that we need to do at this time.
Okay.
My opinion.
That's fine. Yeah. Is there anything else from any of the other commissioners?
I think it's a good thing, but if we want to wait and see, do more research.
I'll go back and look at that number, because I could have sworn it had something to do with this.
We could table it.
I'll go back and look at that.
I guess it would have been nice to have closure, but we probably maybe need some info.
This served to educate us about what that sort of...
That's why I wanted to write the agenda.
Good idea.
Okay.
But anyway, I'll go back and look at the bill number.
So I'm hearing from Daryl and Jim that they would like more information.
Well, I would like to vote on it and approve it, but apparently maybe we should look at a little more...
Vote and approve what?
I mean, that we... Do this, get recertified, or
what? Oh, I see.
But apparently, you know, maybe it is prudent for us to wait.
You want to make a motion to do that? Go ahead.
Could I recommend that, like I've said, the process of this certification is in. It's being assessed to decide how to proceed with renewals. Wait, let me provide that. When that gets decided, allow me to provide that to you, and then you can decide what to do.
Okay, I misunderstood when we looked at the agenda.
No, I just wanted to understand.
Is that acceptable?
You
that's fine with me.
Fine.
Is there any other comments or requests besides waiting for more clarification?
Nope.
Okay.
I'll go back.
We will move forward with the finalizing the plans for the November meeting.
I think we decided the 19th, did we not? That was kind of unanimous consent.
That's what I remember.
I think that's what we went with. Yeah.
Okay.
The 19th.
19th in Lincoln.
In Lincoln, at a location to be determined. And the topic would be the center with focus on the apartments and a tour of the apartments.
Right. Yep, let's do it.
And Pearl, I would say just use your judgment on meeting location.
All right,
and
very well.
I don't.
Yes.
The to be determined, the place to be determined is solely because we're trying to meet somewhere close to the apartments.
Apartments, yeah.
Right. But if that doesn't work out,
whatever,
just
we'll
use your
work.
Discretion. Yeah,
thank
that's
you.
Fine.
Okay.
Okay, then I believe we should do a short public comments, and then we will conclude.
Howard has some.
Okay, I have 51. Okay, wait, I am going to hold our public comments to no more than 15 minutes, because we're way over already.
Right.
Howard, yes.
I'd like to ask Pearl Van Zandt a question, please.
Mm-hmm.
Could you please explain how you got on this board of certification process? Were you sponsored by someone? Did you actually make an application?
I was asked. Hubert, he's trying to hand you that. Sure. I was contacted by the chairperson of the, either the chairperson or the staff, Dr. Edward Bell, heads up the Louisiana State University something, kind of is the staffer for this board. So I was asked to serve on the board. Similar to, I'm a member of the Board of Trustees of American Foundation for the Blind. I was asked by that president to serve, et cetera.
Are other members of the board sponsored by someone else?
There's not really, it's not sponsored, so I'm not sure.
I'll give you the example real quick. In the case of Mike and Jim, they are designees of the two different organizations.
Oh, I see.
Are other folks designees of other organizations?
No. There's some professors, there's a retired agency director, there's me, an agency director, people like that. Folks who are known to have some expertise in the blindness field is who's on it. But no, they don't represent any other entity.
Good.
Yeah, you bet. Sure.
Okay. Bob.
Can you have a comment?
I heard Bob Deaton way earlier that night.
Bob.
Well, I guess it goes back to the money that Texas is paying for an internship in the Senate. I was just wondering if that money was tied to the continued operation of the center, or is that money earmarked for more general purposes?
We're using it specifically to code some of the hours of Jeff Altman while he's in the center. I mean, while the intern is in the center, Jeff is the main person working with him, so we're coding some of his hours to this.
Okay. We'll do Mark, and then was there someone to my right over here? No? Okay. We'll do Mark next.
All right. First of all, thank you, Board, again, for your dedicated service. First, regarding structured discovery, I think Nebraska should be very proud of their innovations and hard work and dedication to make Nebraska probably the best well-known place to get structured discovery in the country. So job well done. And so I want to thank you. That being said, there are structured discovery, and I'm not an O&M or a rehabilitation teacher or rehabilitation counselor. I'm just a guy trying to understand things. As I understand things, structured discovery is considered an alternative method and alternative to what would be considered traditional. And for the sake of discussion, the National Blind Professional Certification Board, there are six centers certified, right? The first three being the National Federation of the Blind training centers in Colorado, Minnesota, and Louisiana.
Right.
And then subsequently, state of Nebraska, again, providing leadership, was the first of three states to be certified. When I think of certifications, and I think of national, I think of a broad appeal. I think of a national. National tends to suggest that it's a widespread or commonplace. Well, I would suggest, again, structured discovery is very valuable. I do feel that we are missing the opportunity when we do not also offer our clients more traditional methods. For example, the term immersion that I heard earlier. I would also like to hear the words in other more traditional methods, like being safe travelers and comfortable in your environment. And that would mean working with a person that has residual vision and helping them meet their needs. I hear the words attitude. Changing people's attitudes. I would rather also like to promote positive image. Another perspective. And there are differences between traditional and the alternative methods. I just, as consumers, I don't know that most consumers in Nebraska know that there are choices, and are they offered choices? I guess that's my concern with this certification and why we don't maybe have dual certification, because in that sense we have the best of both worlds. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mason.
Okay. Amy?
I just wish to respond briefly to Mark's comments. I don't believe, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
I don't believe that
dual certification would be in our best interest, because I'm of, maybe I'm misunderstanding, but it seems to me that structured discovery is in many ways a very different methodology than that which has been traditionally proposed and tends to be somewhat exclusive from the methods used by other organizations. It seems to me that it's a one or the other type of thing. And really, when it comes down to it, we need to consider what works. And Carlos has stated earlier in this meeting that we are on the higher end of successful closures. I can't help but believe that's because of the methods we use in our training.
This is Nancy.
Mm-hmm. Bob,
okay, we'll do Nancy next.
Nancy.
Plural.
Plural.
Nancy, why don't you go ahead?
I just was going to say, you know, because I really value the dialogue here. One of the things is that we do, structured discovery is a method that we use, but it's not the only method. And there are plenty of people that we work with that we do not use sleep shades with. We meet with them individually in their home. You know, they come in for group teachings. We really individualize that to help them maximize their independence and to feel comfortable and confident, you know, about their own individual wants and needs. So we use a lot of methods.
Thank you. That is absolutely correct.
And I just want to add to that.
Hang on.
And I just want to add to that. We ideally, particularly with people with some functional vision, we don't discourage use of vision. We want people to develop their visual skills as well as their non-visual skills. With some people, we believe the sleep shades are going to help develop the non-visual skills to the maximum. But we do want the two skills to be integrated. With other people, from our experience, the sleep shades can be a hindrance, you know. And so, like Nancy says, we will work with them and use the methods that work best.
Karen Anderson.
Karen.
It was said that we are one of only three state centers to be certified, and that in some people's opinion that does not make the certification national. I don't think anything becomes national overnight, and I think Nebraska is on the cutting edge of something, and I think that's a good thing.
Are there any more comments? If you're raising your hand, you're not going to get to talk.
Yes, Julie, this is Ann Pelican.
Okay, go ahead, Ann.
For the next board meeting, let's go to Applebee's. That's close.
Okay.
I just had to lighten up.
Okay.
Let's go home.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
We have nothing else on the agenda, so.
Yeah, what's the focus topic? This is Barbara. What's the focus topic in May?
There isn't one.
There isn't one because we do the evaluation of the executive director, and it takes quite a while. So.
It's open to the public.
Well, and we go over all the survey responses, and it takes a good chunk of time.
Is that survey for the staff? Or?
Yep.
Yes.
For the staff.
That's what I was going to ask.
Okay.
Good question. That meeting will be May
14th in Norfolk. Uh-huh. And then August 6th is York. And what's the focus topic? I forgot.
Partnerships.
Yes. Other agency partnerships. And then November we've already discussed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hearing no final requests for comments, we will adjourn.
Yep, second. All right, we're done.
Nice turnout.
Yeah, it was. Is the recording off?